Josh. Lur. 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 Lur.
Yeah, that's right. The Wiggle Room is back, and it's the Merge, baby. That's right. That's right.
What lions sound like, right?
I think that's like a coyote. It's closer to a hyena, I think.
It's more. Well, I mean, look, what am I? A lion or a hyena?
Josh Wiggler, everybody.
I'm definitely hanging out with Scar and waiting for him to take over as king. That's probably more my place than like one of like the proud warriors of Pride Rock. They kicked me out. I'm in the Shadowlands.
Be prepared.
Oh my gosh. What a time. What a time here. We've got a Survivor Merge to talk about.
Yep.
Your good friend Tyson Apostle is back on Survivor, slipping into those cracks.
Yeah.
We've got a big fancy merge feast that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then the villain of the season just like went away in like a puff of smoke. He just sort of disappeared.
Yep. So
it's wild.
Wendell, the quote unquote villain of the season.
Where's Dom? Why isn't Dom here? This was the week
that was last week. That was last week.
I know, but this would have been the week to do it.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, we have to. It's just us talking about what happened this week. So we got a lot of stuff to get to. Josh, this was maybe an all-time week here on Rob as a Podcast with these last week of shows where since the last episode, we've heard from Christian Hubicki and
crazy.
Malcolm and Haley Strong.
That's crazy. That's the trifecta for sure. How would you power rank those?
Big three. Haley Strong one.
Yeah. It's probably a reverse order, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And then Christian two.
But they're
two.
All like top of the hill.
Malcolm three. No, it was really, really great these last couple of days of podcasting where that I think that with Christian, we really got into breaking down everything that was going on in the game. Went about 3 hours and 40 minutes with Christian that episode.
That's crazy, man. That's a lot. I mean, Christian could talk, though. If Christian has a day cleared out, he could talk to you for a full 12-hour podcast for sure.
And Malk was great also yesterday because that with Malk, we didn't really get into like the X's and O's. We got into like Malcolm had about, you know, four or five like all-time stories that he told about his relationship with Denise. He had a ton of great stories about being with Tony and the pre-jury trip. So Malcolm had like some really great stories from like war stories with Malcolm. So that was really great too. So
I still think you gotta be pretty close to being the only person on the planet who calls him Malk, right?
Yeah, I think. Well, that's an old.
It's your thing. I know it goes back a ways. Yeah. I know
it's our thing. Like
I was there. I remember.
Yeah, like for you know Ben and Jeremy, they have their thing. Mm-hmm. And me and Malk have our thing. Here's Jeremy and Ben.
Like, if Wendell's here, he's another shield for us. That's our thing.
I know.
It's our thing.
Yeah. That's me and Malk's thing, where I call him Malk and he doesn't really acknowledge it.
Yeah, I think that everybody, and this is a season of all winners, and you really would expect everybody to do their due diligence coming into a season like this, if any due diligence was ever going to be done heading into a season of Survivor, that people didn't realize that that having Wendell around, that was their thing. Like, literally, that's their thing, right? Like, that's Ben and Jeremy's thing. How did they miss that?
Yeah, yeah.
This is upsetting.
So, all right, Josh.
Yeah, I screwed it up.
Let's talk a little bit about your reactions to Wendell being voted out at the merge.
I was really surprised. I really thought this was the Adam exit. I really thought we had hit the end of the line for Adam and there would be like some level of poetry to that where Adam had a really tough merge his first go around and he manages to make it through. And I thought that it wasn't going to go well for him here. And I don't know that it went great for him.
No, not great.
I don't know if I would say it went fantastically for Adam. Like, I think pretty bad that we see the scene where Denise is like, I can take him or leave him. You know, mm-hmm. Where Denise is basically like, do what you gotta do. You know, but I definitely thought that Wendell was probably gonna make it through this episode because there just wasn't nearly enough of Wendell himself or like Wendell the Agitator. I know a lot of people are making note of the fact that Michelle was pretty quiet this episode. Mm-hmm. and for her storyline to be so intrinsically tied with Wendell, for that to not have any real payoff here on the main island, at least yet. I mean, that's the thing with EOE, right? Like, the storyline can always continue onto the beach over there, or if Wendell should get back into the game, or however that plays out. Though I don't even know that I would have high confidence in that, considering that Rob gets voted out and we don't have anything of like a Rob and Amber reunion type of scene. You know, we kind of just like hopped straight into business with all of that. So I wouldn't like bank on the existence of EOE as like a platform to like continue story arcs necessarily.
Yeah,
I was surprised by that, I guess. I was surprised that Wendell went home in an episode where like Michelle had almost nothing to say or do, and that he had been built up in such like a nefarious light only to get knocked out at the merge without, I don't know if Adam Klein's, I know there's a blind side coming. I know it's me or you. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's like as iconic as "You have no bars, bro. Put the mic down, bro."
Mm-hmm.
For Wendell to go in that same spot is, kind of Ghost Island-ish, I guess.
Oh, okay. So you've that's the symmetry here, where that
right.
Wendell's most iconic, with all due respect to his voting confessional against Yule, his most iconic voting confessional was at the merge in Ghost Island, and
for sure, yeah, 100%.
Okay,
yeah. So here he is at the merge, and the archetypal merge boot, right?
Well, this is a podcast where we do like to try to talk about the story and the characters of the season. And for Wendell, that his story was a weird one, where that sort of like the biggest notes in the story were the, like sort of the acrimony between his relationship with between him and Michelle. And we certainly had that, and definitely told from Michelle's perspective. But unfortunately, and I think the reason why it comes to an unsatisfying conclusion is that I don't know if that story necessarily matched the reality of the situation.
Yeah, maybe not. But at the very least, the fact that they're and look, it's a reality show. It's a game where if you believe that it is as pure as you want to believe that it is, that like, you know, outcomes aren't like being controlled or manipulated in such a way that like they can keep Wendell around so that he's the bad guy. You get voted out by a tribe of your peers is the premise of the game. So if there isn't going to be like a satisfying resolution to the Michelle and Wendell thing because he goes home here and Michelle's not really clued in on it, then I guess that them's just the breaks. But if you're gonna start telling that story, especially if you're gonna like trash one of your winners a little bit, you know, the way that they kind of trash Wendell, I think at least if you're gonna do that, then you have to have like some punctuation to that story rather than just like leaving it as like a run-on sentence that, you know, doesn't go anywhere. And that's kind of how it ends up feeling. And I think that's a bummer for Wendell, who I think is a much better dude than this season illustrated. Like my casual super, like my casual McCasual fans, friends of mine who I'm talking to a lot these days about Survivor, especially like people who are like really into sports. And as a lot of people are who are into sports, don't have a lot of places to turn to for like live action right now.
Mm-hmm.
Survivor's like heating up more and more, and that's great. But a lot of my friends who are like really sporty people who don't like do like the big podcast deep dive into Survivor have been like being like, wow, so is Wendell really that big of a dick in real life? Because he's a jerk. That guy sucks. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, every single interaction I've ever had with Wendell Holland has been like unbelievably pleasant. He is a very gracious guy and like a really good, like you don't need to look much further than the way he's been dealing with a lot of like the online abuse, frankly, that he's, you know, sustained, with some people just being like outright racist and hateful in some of his comments on Instagram and stuff. And like he's the guy who keeps saying like, I feel the passion, love to the lovers and the haters, I get it. And like, he does not owe anybody that kind of response, and that's the response he's given. Like, Wendell's a super good guy as far as every experience I've ever had with him. And for the show to, like, do him the way that they do and not at least come up with some way to make it, like, a compelling send-off is disappointing to me, I think.
Yeah, you don't really hear me complain about the edit too much or who necessarily got a bad edit, but this Wendell story just is a big disconnect. Like, I understand that there might have been some weirdness there with Michelle, but they really just played it up to
drag.
For what purpose?
What?
There was no payoff there.
Yeah. And it so was, that when new people discover Ghost Island after watching the season, they watch that season being like, oh, there's Wendell the jerk, and this is going to be the guy who wins the show. Like, mm-hmm. what was the point of any of that?
And also, that to not even have Michelle be sort of like, I thought that they were going to be building this story up to that Michelle was going to play a big part in his ouster, and they were building Wendell up into a villain so that Michelle would be even more heroic when right. she, you know, kicked this guy to the curb who had, you know, allegedly treated her wrong. No, that wasn't it either.
No, and that's not what happened, so that's fine. But like, what if you are going to start telling that story, then I think like you at least have to like follow it through enough to be like, okay, so, and I believe this is right, Michelle voted with Wendell on this, right? Yeah, so like you got to be able to tell the story from Michelle's perspective of why she and Nick are voting with Wendell against Adam. That is, you know, that's a tale you can tell. And it doesn't have to be like Michelle got a shot in on Wendell on the way out, but at least like include her voice in that storyline when her voice has been essential to the Wendell storyline up to this point. So, yeah, I think it was all just a little bit of a letdown in getting Wendell out of there. And I also think for a lot of the people who ended up getting rid of Wendell, maybe not the right person to get, but I don't know. At this point, like, who's the right person to get? There's a reason for everyone.
What about Michelle moving forward there? What do you think we see from Michelle in Wednesday's episode? Do you think we get a reaction from Michelle, or do you think that she's just on to, you know, now just trying to scramble for her life in the game?
I think it depends on how much action there is in the episode, how much strategic maneuvering there is in the episode, how many trinkets are in play in the episode, how essential it is to spend a lot of time on EOE, how essential it is to show us two challenges if there are two challenges. Because if all of those, like, if all of, like, the big stuff, like the parts of Survivor are big enough, then I can imagine they don't spend even 30 seconds on Michelle's reaction. Like, I think that there's a world where that happens, and that's very disappointing. And I think if we don't get to see Michelle react to Wendell getting voted out in a meaningful way, and I think Michelle has been looking really, really good as a potential winner contender this season. Like, I think that she's been a really strong piece of the storytelling this year, and it's been so fun to have her on the show. But if we don't get like a really strong reaction from her about Wendell, I'm not liking her shot in that regard on like a narrative level. But she's also in like a bad spot right now. She was one of the three that didn't vote for the right person to go home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We saw Tyson come back from the edge of extinction this week, Josh.
Now, that was fun. It was fun.
You are famously one of the top never edgers out there. Did Tyson's excitement about coming back into the game, did that change your feelings at all? Or are you still conflicted where you're holding these two things in your hand at once?
I'm like the peanut butter, Rob. I'm still a little salty about EOE. But I also love peanut butter and I love Tyson. And I was very thrilled for Tyson. And it was cool to get some emotion out of Tyson there, too. I think like when you get those shades from Tyson, and he talked about it like directly on the show of like, I build up these walls because like this stuff is hard for me. Like when you get to see that he's not just like an incredible character, when you get to see that he's not just like a jester and he's not just like jokering his way, like a super athletic joker on his way to the end game, that he is like a fully fleshed out, fully dimensional human being. He's a father, he's a husband, you know, like all of that stuff coming to bear in what he, and like you've heard this on like, you know, like News AF is like a riot every week, so it's not like really the big emotion. It's not like the big emotional deep dive, but you've done the emotional deep dives with Tyson. You've done the big long Survivor podcast, especially before he went out for Blood versus Water and won. There's that one where he talks about how Survivor can break your heart. And I think he does take it. He takes the experience very seriously. And I thought to see that in Tyson was cool. And to see like the way his demeanor is changing now that he's back in the main game, and understanding that like, all right, I already got voted out once, let's try and not do that again. But also like kind of like having a little bit of like a come hither attitude about it. Like, all right, well, I'm an ingredient here. If you'd like to work with me, let's figure something out. I really enjoyed the entirety of Tyson in this episode. And I hate the edge of extinction, Rob, but I love Tyson Apostle, and I was very thrilled for him to get another shot.
Were you surprised that Tyson's name wasn't being talked about very much when he came back from the edge of extinction?
Yeah, I would have really thought that whoever came back from the edge would just be like an easy person to pick off right away. Like, just get rid of that person. Just the consensus pick. That person's a winner. That person's already been voted out. That person just spent time. I guess depending on who it is, like if it's Yule and he was just there for a night, you know, maybe you don't have to send him immediately back out to the edge. But somebody who's been on the edge for how long had Tyson been out there? Like a solid week? Or so, something like that, mm-hmm. right? Like, he was fifth voted out, fourth voted out, fifth voted out. Like, that's a long time to be bonding with those people. I wouldn't want that guy to get deep into the game. That would scare the crap out of me. I would vote him out pretty quickly, especially if he's, like, a known immunity threat. And if you've got a free shot at him right now, this seems like a pretty easy consensus time to pick him off. But the thing is that Tyson has different people in the game that he can work with right now that he didn't have available to him before. I think it helps him that that Jeremy is there. And I think is it Tony who articulates like the deck has totally reshuffled and like what Tyson was before, like none of that really matters. Now, I think Sophie does a really great job of articulating that among many other things that Sophie articulated so well this week. So it's like it really is kind of like all these people have won before. So they all know about, you know, how to treat this in a less personal way, maybe to a certain extent, that like it can be for Tyson less about you guys knocked me out and now I'm coming for your asses, like you're all in big trouble, and more like, all right, well, that happened, new day, let's see what we can do. And everybody else being like, all right, well, we can work with that. I think if it was a different person, maybe. But I think Tyson's a skilled enough player that he can leverage that position of coming back in.
Yeah, the circumstances are so different right now because you have where Boston Rob is out of the game. That was a connection that people were worried about. And then the people that were really pushing up Poker Alliance were Yule and Sandra. They're both out of the game. So the people that were coming for Tyson initially are not there anymore. His big connection that people were worried about isn't there anymore. So it's a completely new game for Tyson. But Josh, do you think that this was maybe just concern that maybe Tyson came back with an idol? Or do you think that this will continue to not be top of mind for the next couple of rounds that people are worried about Tyson?
I think it should be top of mind for a few of these people, but I guess it depends on whether or not this, like, the big players versus the small players thing continues to play out, like, whatever that means. And I did appreciate that from Tony, like, the clarification of, like, it's not like I'm saying, like, we're the almighty best players of all time. We're the ones who just have, like, maybe, like, bigger reputations for being, like, playing with a certain size of target on our backs. If those people do stick together, if those people do hold down the fort moving forward, you know, then I think Tyson's probably a piece of that for a good little while. But I don't know that I don't think that this is going to be a season that's as straightforward as that. So whether it's Tyson or somebody else who's part of that pack getting in trouble pretty quickly here, that would be my bet for what comes next.
So do you feel like that we see a more straightforward vote this week, or do you think that this is going to be very chaotic this week?
Who would a straightforward vote be? Like, if they now decided to get rid of, like, Nick the Lurker?
Adam or Nick, yeah. Nick the Lurker, that's...
Nick the Lurker. That was... that montage was hysterical. That was, like, the slowly moving into the ring was just very, very, very strange. Yeah, I think that he's an easy person to pick off right now, and Adam is too. And I think that both of them have that, like, same sheen of being like a young new winner with a reputation for being a Survivor super duper fan. Could be a pretty agreeable time to get rid of one of those two. And Adam was receiving votes this week, but there were enough people that were pretty anti Nick in this vote, including Jeremy. And if Jeremy has as much power as maybe it looks like he does within this group, can he go after Nick now that Wendell's gone? Can he, like, get his way now that he's kind of given in and allowed Wendell to go off into the night?
Do you think that if Jeremy didn't win immunity, do you think that he would have been a target this week?
He seems pretty well connected. No, I don't think so. I think that Jeremy is doing well right now. I really like where Jeremy's at right now. I think if Jeremy and I think I would be less... I would be more concerned about Jeremy right now if he didn't play this vote the way that he did, where enough people were like, I want it to be Wendell. enough people were like, I think it makes more sense for it to be Wendell right now. For Jeremy to you know, probably fight that to an appropriate degree of like he wants Wendell around personally, but ultimately to giving into going with the tide, which is something that Denise talked about as well, I think, in this episode. I think that that was smart. I think if like Jeremy had really gone down swinging on like trying to fight really hard for Wendell to stick around when everybody else wants Wendell gone, I'd be more concerned about him now. But the fact that like he wasn't like so bullheaded as to really stick his foot in the ground for that, I think that that bodes well for him. I really like his spot in the game. I think like once again, like people are just like seem to be really sleeping on Jeremy's threat level right now, which is kind of wild to me.
Well, do you feel like that's the case? Because Sophie really wanted to target Wendell because of his connection to Jeremy. She said, I wanted to cut off Jeremy at the knees. Do you feel like that Sophie potentially has Jeremy
in
her sights?
They have no real connection in the game. You know,
other
they
than according to Steven, the Stevens wedding alliance.
Oh, right. Yeah. I
don't remember seeing them talk that much.
I can't wait until we see
oral history of Steven's wedding.
No, flashback footage to Steven's wedding when we see that Jeremy and Sophie have had this secret alliance the entire time. Mm. And we just have to like go to like table 18 where you guys all were. That was the number, right?
I believe Sophie was at a different table with Cochran.
Wow.
Not at the Jeremy and Val. Tyson and Jeremy might have the Stevens wedding alliance.
Scandalous. Steven, that's a little see-through. No, that's a little transparent. It's a bad strategy. bad table placement strategy. Well, maybe it is like nursing a bit of a grudge. You know, maybe this is like a real like only one of us can be Fishback's best friend.
Maybe.
It's a race to the bottom.
Maybe. Perhaps that's the case.
Right. That's a really exciting meta story to potentially be following.
Yeah.
I loved Sophie this week. I thought she was great. There are certain people who I love on Survivor and love as Survivor winners that I always will, but maybe haven't like quite popped the way that I've wanted them to pop this season, whether it's because of circumstances or something else. Like, I just feel like we haven't had like a really good Kim story this year. I'm glad that she made it out of the situation she made it out of early on, but like I just don't feel like there's really a Kim story. But like Denise is popping in a way like where if you were a Denise stan, like you always knew, and here she is showing up the way
what
that she's showing
if?
Up. You know, exactly. It's a given that you were a Denise stan. And I feel very similarly about Sophie, that I think that Sophie is really not that she had anything to prove, but I think that she's really like cementing her value on the television series Survivor, not just as a player, but as like this incredibly incisive and insightful narrator. Really, really fun stuff from Sophie this week, as she's just like fully laying out where everybody stands on the tribe. Even if it's not the best look, because she's saying like, if they're coming for you, Adam, that's a blind side to me. And like, there definitely were conversations about going for Adam.
Oh, but I think that she was just telling that to Adam. I think that...
Well, if that's the case, then that's great. That's really, really good.
Well, yeah. To build on what you're saying, that I think that Sophie this season has been far more of a character on the show than she ever was in Survivor
100%.
South Pacific, where
100%.
Behind, you know, South Pacific, where you had Cochran, you know, eating up the scene. And Ozzy and Coach, you know, Sophie was not really, you know, a key figure in terms of like the characters in the story, not to take anything away from her win, but
totally.
In terms of like the you know, there were big characters, even Brandon Hance in that season. So you had
Albert
big characters.
Destroyed.
No, Albert was kind of, you know, just there also.
He had a story as sort of like the... like he'll do literally anything and everyone's
right.
Like pretty over that.
But Sophie's iconic moment in the season, it doesn't come till very late in the show when, you know, Albert dropped your stack and there were things like she's very, you know, annoyed about having to watch the Jack and Jill. You know, there are small moments, but, you know, she doesn't really have other than drop your stack.
It was more a story about how Coach and Ozzy lost than how Sophie won. And this is a much greater like showcase of like the dimensionality of Sophie Clark as a Survivor player. So I'm very happy about it. Yeah. It's been really fun to see.
Okay. Josh, anything else you want to say about this week's episode?
The rainy bamboo immunity challenge, the get on the pole thing, that was dangerous. Maybe rain check that one. I don't know. Like, that seemed like a pretty silly idea to do. Like, be on the slippery pole from like a 40-foot height or whatever the hell it is. Like, that just seemed pretty dangerous.
Like, how much the jurisdiction do they have to say, like, you know what? Hey, we're going to do this challenge at 12. Let's do it at 11. Let's hurry up the challenge for 11. Let's do that here.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think it's hard to swap challenges around, but I do think, like, when they know that they've got like a really bad weather element that they have to contend with, I think that they can do some pivoting. But it isn't like a nothing deal. It's not like they can just like snap their fingers and it's the challenge from next week is the one that they're going to be able to do. Like, it's a Herculean effort to move stuff around. But like, I don't know. That just seemed like a pretty dangerous thing.
Yeah.
That fall from Michelle was really tough.
Okay. All right.
I really love the edit choice, though, of going from Adam being like, yeah, I was in a tsunami. This is nothing. This is fun for me. I was in a cyclone, to him then being on the pole, being like, I'm so scared. It was just like a pretty good juxtaposition.
Well, he's scared of heights, not the weather.
Right, yeah. right. But just like the storytelling juxtaposition was not great for Adam, but it was funny TV. But yeah, and then he was a cool dude with Michelle and everything. So that was great. But yeah, give them wrestling mats, says Jessica Sterling.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, that's right.
Not a bad idea. Okay. All right, so let's thank our sponsor before we get into the wand off. New sponsor, I thought this would be of particular interest to you, Josh. BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who are there to help. Of course, a lot of us stuck at home, feeling isolated, worried about the state of things, you can talk to a licensed online therapist and find relief. BetterHelp therapists specialize in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, insomnia, family conflicts, and more. You can connect with a counselor in a safe and private online environment. Anything you share is confidential. You simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you'll love in less than 24 hours. You can secure video or phone sessions with your therapist. Plus, exchange unlimited messages, and if for any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time for no additional charge. You can get professional help when you want it, wherever you are. BetterHelp is a truly affordable option, and our listeners can get 10% off your first month with the discount code RHAP. I actually signed up that I got a chance
to do a
free trial. I'll let you know later on in the week how it goes, but I've been waiting for years, Josh.
I know.
I've got a lot to get off of my chest.
I bet you do, and save a lot of that for the therapy session. I don't think that you need to vent all of that out to the rest of the world, but I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. I think that this is great.
Yeah.
And I think especially as, like, you know, we're in quarantine right now, you know, the world is the way that it is right now. You know, so many things are moving digitally, that BetterHelp is really well equipped as well equipped as anybody is to like handle the current climate. I think that they are well equipped for it. And certainly for me, like my weekly therapy sessions are all on like FaceTime right now. And I get a lot out of that. And I know people who vouch very specifically for BetterHelp who have benefited from it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not in any of this alone. Even if you are physically alone, many of you, there's support out there, and this is a really great resource. Big thumbs up to BetterHelp.
Yeah, this is the perfect time for this. Again, 10% off your first month with the discount code RHAP. Why not get started today? Go to BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Don't forget discount code RHAP at BetterHelp.com/RHAP. Talk to a therapist online and you can get help.
Stop right there. You gotta know right now. This is Wandoff, and we really need it. Here's the Wandoff. I'm begging and I'm pleading. If you play this, I'll be happy for the rest of my life. I'll be the king of my street and a man of my wife. This is Wandoff, and we're all stuck in our basements eating Cheetos. A frozen pizza for breakfast. Don't know when I'm gonna see another Rips of Light. We're watching Pixels on Word for the 10th time tonight. Gotta cheer right now. Before we go any further, this is Wandoff. It will be an
Oh my God.
Thank Thank you, James from Canada.
Oh, wow. And you're a hero to Amanda, your wife now. What an incredible, incredible thing. I think that was the lyric. I think I caught that correctly.
I wasn't sure if he was a hero to Amanda, his wife, or he was now a man in the eyes of his wife.
I wasn't sure. Well, I missed the lyrics potentially.
I wasn't sure if Amanda is his wife or he is now a man to his wife.
I'm not sure. If you can send in some clarity on the lyrics.
Really,
we'd appreciate that.
Making a wand off the most macho thing you can do.
I think so.
To your spouse to prove just how masculine you are is making a wand off.
Yeah, people all the time ask me, like, what is the key to, like, making a successful wand off? And I think it's doing, like, 800 push-ups before you record.
Yes.
Because then you'll get that testosterone flowing. Tyson has a lot of better workout tips than I do.
Yeah, but, he does all the muscle ups and everything.
Yeah. You can get like a big protein shake, you down that, and then you just like hop right onto GarageBand and belt it out.
But not to be outdone by Josh Wiggler, who I managed to have his own heroic feat this week. He found the missing precious wedding ring at his house.
Yeah. I had lost my wedding ring. I think I've talked about this maybe on this podcast, certainly on other podcasts. I'd lost my wedding ring in November 2019. We spent many weeks.
Not a great month for you, right?
What, November? November was a tough month. November was a tough month. So it was bad timing. We couldn't find it anywhere. And we kind of pinned it to a moment where we thought that there was an opportunity where I may have like accidentally thrown out the ring, where it was like on a counter that I'd like swept some stuff off. And like, it was very likely that is what had happened to it. And eventually we kind of just decided that's probably what had happened. Got a new ring made. It's the one I'm wearing right here. If you're watching on video, it's a little bit thicker than the OG ring. But as I was rummaging through some drawers this week, searching for a survivor buff to wear as a mask to go out and do some errands, lo and behold, as they say, Rob, I found the wedding ring. So
lo and behold, that means
lo and behold,
it's a great way to end the story.
Yeah. So that's what happened, and I found it. And so now I have the two rings plus a travel ring plus an inexpensive travel ring. Now I've got like four wedding rings.
Nice.
Mega married, as I think Jenny Autumn called it. So they're here. We're all set. Happy ending. It's nice to have some good news this week. That was really lovely. And I did feel very, very macho afterwards. Just to put it back on like how masculine and testosterone fueled you feel after recording a wand off. I felt like really powerful.
Yeah. I actually twice lost my wedding ring last year. And the second time I lost, I thought it was gone. It was gone for
forever.
Good. And I even got a replacement. And then I ended up finding it in a similar miraculous fashion. So don't give up on those lost wedding rings, people.
It was a very expensive mistake. It was a very expensive mistake that I made. But I actually kind of like the new ring more. So that's the one I'm wearing.
Okay.
So,
all right. You know,
all's well that ends well.
All's well that ends well.
All right.
That's what they said about week 7 of the wand off.
That's what I heard. I heard with the rumors. Yeah.
Yes.
People were into it.
Yes. All right. Well, let's talk about what happened here on week 7 of the wand off. Of course, a great week of the wand off. And we got to talk about what happened here because in third place was Will from America with his Joe Exotic inspired.
Quitty. Yeah.
But I do believe
that was fantastic.
In terms of my own prognostication, I thought that there would be a runaway winner with last week's wand off. And I have to say that there was an upset because in second place was Tyler Jacob Jones with Saving All My Love for Yule. Which I expected to win, but no, it was tightly contested, 22.56% of the vote for Tyler Jacob Jones, one of the all-time greatest vocal performances in the history of the wand off.
Yeah, for sure. And one of the all-time greatest vocal performers in the history of Earth.
Yes. But with a win that nobody saw coming,
oh,
with
wow.
23.62% of the vote, I'm happy to award the wand off victory to JRNV in Nashville with one of the great instrumental performances in the history of the wand off, and it was their rendition of Since Yule's Been Gone.
Season 40 started off fine.
Yeah.
Then the old schoolers fell behind.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How is Yule Kwan?
Not great.
Yeah.
That was great, though. That was really creative and good. Really, really lyrically funny, too, in addition to the live performance. So very well earned. Very
congratulations
well earned.
On the Wandoff win to JRNV in Nashville. Congratulations.
Awesome.
Okay.
Enjoy. Enjoy the victory. Welcome to the final Wandoff and to Wombat Nation.
All right.
Spectacular.
Josh, welcome now to our week 8 Wandoff officially. And let's bring in the host of the Wandoff, the late, great Casey Kasem. Rob and Josh, it's a pleasure to be back here with you to talk week 8 Wandoff.
Hi, Casey. How are you this week?
I just got done playing in a sequester game all weekend, and it was wild.
How did you do? Did you do well?
You were only allowed to have 4 ghosts in a room at any time, and it was trickier than it sounds.
Mm-hmm. Sorry I missed it, Casey. I heard it was a blast, and I heard that it went for approximately 400 hours, and I heard that everybody is still talking about it.
If you started listening to all of the RHAP podcasts at the beginning, that you'd still have... I don't even know which way to go for the joke on this one.
Is basically that the podcast...
It was a lot of
podcasting this week and a long sequester session. Seemed good. But now I know who to target for sequester RHAP season 2. Like, you've all revealed yourselves, and now I've got the advantage. So you have no idea how I'll play.
Josh, it's time to get into the honorable mentions for week number 8. And we're going to kick things off with a song all about this week's immunity challenge and the key to victory for one of the immunity recipients. Here's Ali R. That was a hit for the group Sixpence, none the Richard Hatch.
Wow. Is that who originally does that song? I don't think so. Oh, we're going to get into one of those.
Is it that's a remake?
Oh, I promise you, the good news is we record these with some live component now that maybe somebody can help us out. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Our live fact checking. Now, this is much better because then we'll still get a bunch of tweets yelling.
Yeah. And then, we can issue the correction
in the podcast.
So that'll be good. But no one's coming through yet. So we gotta move on.
Maybe a little bit of a lag.
Well, then you want to filibuster a tiny bit more. That song is heavily featured in So I Married an Axe Murderer, which I know is a favorite of yours and mine. Are you a So I Married an Axe Murderer guy?
Sorry to say, I am not.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, Josh is wrong. Josh is wrong.
But you have the star of So I Married an Axe Murderer right behind you.
I do. Austin Powers himself.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, that really is Sixpence, None the Richer? Does that one?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Next question I'm going to ask, is it a one-hit wonder?
Yeah, for sure, right? Mm-hmm. No, There She Goes.
Do they have another hit?
Keep going. I'll do some research while you keep the podcast moving.
Next up, there were a couple of great moments from Sophie Clark this week, but
it's the Boo Radleys. The Boo Radleys.
Were the original?
Yeah, I think so. Or the Laws. Or the Laws. I don't know. But it's not Sixpence None the Richer.
That's not the artist?
Well, it's not the original. It's covered. It's a cover. It's a cover. There's an original. Okay. Jessica Lease is pulling her hair out listening to this.
Yes.
I know she okay. is. I know so many of you are. Oh, God. Just keep going. Just keep going. Forget okay. about it.
All right.
Forget any of this ever happened.
Okay.
I mean the wand off. I mean all of it. Forget all of it. Just put it all away.
But in between her great moments of strategy, Sophie was very affected by the weather in Fiji. Here's a song about Sophie's state of being from Haruna from America.
Sophie's cold as ice. She's literally convulsing. Oh no. Wendell tried to devise a plan, and you'll pay the price. She knows. I've seen it before. It happens all the time. Winners at war. Sophie's got that mind. She's changing the vote, so Wendell's the name. But nobody knows that she's running this game.
That was a hit for Foreign Earl Cole.
Oh, Foreign Earl Cole. Man, that looked so miserable. Why would anyone ever want to do Survivor? That should be like the commercial for like, never do this. It's so cold. She looks so cold. That looked miserable.
Not good.
That was bad.
Not good. Not fun.
Nightmare.
Yeah. Speaking of Sophie and her game.
Nightmares.
Here's some more about Sophie and her temperature from Sammy the and the Shower Man with Nick Fishman. Here's their honorable mention.
Look up in the sky, it's so cold as some rain.
Sophie, I gotta ask, are you okay?
Want to win Jeff, but not today. Got the brains, but polls ain't her thing. Gotta figure out the vote now, hold it. Jeremy's got another new homie. We about to blindside, and Wen's about to go down. Watch the vote go round and round. To get her way, Wen's going down. Make big moves and take the crown. Sophie will slay, Wen's going down.
It's going down.
It's going down.
Next two-time winner, she's wearing Crocs. On Instagram.
On Instagram.
She's got some fight. Don't you remember? Winners at war. You won't forget.
You won't forget.
Wanda. Wanda. Wanda.
That was a hit for Kesharia.
She's wearing Crocs on Instagram.
Yeah,
did I hear
like
that right?
She has a dog. Sophie and her wonderful husband, Bobby, I guess they must have gotten a dog and wearing Crocs on Instagram.
What does the dog and the Crocs have to do with each other?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, why does she have to wear running shoes? Is she going somewhere?
No, I don't understand why the dogs and the Crocs are both being mentioned simultaneously. Was it like a post about the dog and she was wearing Crocs?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm not here to shade the Crocs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rock the Crocs if that's what... Listen, I'm in no position to yuck anybody's
There's
yum as far as...
a lot of feet talk coming up here on the Wanda.
Oh, boy, I bet. Now, one sock on, one Croc on, one Croc off. That's how
Is
I
that
wear my
move?
Crocs. Yeah, that's the move.
Is that the move?
Okay. Yeah. Congratulations on the doc and the Crocs.
This week, we heard once again... the iconic theme music for season 40, Winners at War, during the
what
duel.
What is that? What is it? Why is that happening? So weird.
A lot of people attribute that song to Sia.
Yeah.
Here's Isaac from the Sap Shack to set the record straight.
You better be ready
for another Ben Bomb. Because this new theme song is no Sia song.
Oh, wow.
These are Sia songs.
Voted out, and now I'm back. I am Christ's apostle. Chunky
Whoa.
And smooth, I'll lead it all. I am Christ's apostle.
rich people buy me a tarp, I'm shivering.
These are cheap deals,
cause I ain't got no money. I'm gonna hang from a wet pole, from a wet pole. I'm so scared, I won't open my eyes. Poor Michelle, I think she crushed her thighs. Now I'm
such a, that was what from a bizarre lyric.
Jitsia Taylor.
You can just say Sia.
PhD.
She's part of the canon now. Turning chandelier into wet pole is a reach, but appreciated. It's a very garbled lyric. It's very impressively done.
Josh, Wendell got a bad edit on Survivor, but luckily the Wandoff superstars are here to put some respect back on his name. Here is the first of our Wendell tributes. Here's Coop from Indy.
All they say is win, win, Dell, no matter what. Got Nick on my mind cause I wanna break him up. And every time I step up in the huddle, everybody head shake no. And they say win, Dell, they say win, Dell, they say win. Left, right, left, right, left, right. Cause all they say is win, win, Dell. And if you vote and win, put your pin to the parchment, write his name down.
That was from DJ Colleen Haskell.
I'm thinking of like the face app where you do like the face swap. I'm just imagining Colleen and DJ Colleen. I gotta tell you, it's a strange mental image.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If the choice is that Colleen remains in hiding forever or returns as DJ Khaled, I think we should be grateful for the Colleen that we had. I'll take that.
Next up, here's Davis, Will to talk about what a good guy Wendell actually is.
What's with this Senate kissing our boy? Made him look like a villain. Haven't you seen his basketball shoes? They're cooler than DK Chillin's. Wendell, he's close to Michelle. Wendell, and he's close to Nick. Wendell, he's got the toothpick. Ooh-wee-ooh, everyone loved Wendell Holland. His chest hair wasn't there the day before. So be scared that he's way too close to Jeremy. But I don't know about that.
That was from Weezer Nikki.
Wow, getting a lot of play these days. A
lot of play.
That's sad about the chest hair. I don't have a lot, so I felt for Wendell there.
Do you want to have a lot of chest hair?
I don't know that I want to have it, but like I have like kind of like a sad amount. Mm-hmm. Like I have like enough to constitute. Emily likes to make fun of me about it. She calls it the tuft.
The tuft?
Got the tiny tuft of hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like kind of like right here.
Yeah.
You can't
Would
see
you
it.
Would you prefer, is Emily, does her love of Austin Powers extend to the Austin Powers chest hair? Is that what she would prefer?
She also wants me to get like, to really like crook it up my teeth too. It's very strange. I've already got the glasses,
yeah.
You know, so I'm almost there. I'm working on it. I got the pee time on lock, so that's fine. Yeah. Oh. Is that a problem that I said pee time on lock?
It's fine.
Is it all right? It's okay?
It's fine.
Yeah.
Josh, next up, Kyle G wants to talk about the impressive craftsmanship of Wendell's work at the Sele tribe. And trust me, we're going on a journey. Here's
Oh God.
Kyle G.
I'm nervous.
And when Wendell went to sell it, the beach wasn't looking fine. But he got down to work and made it look like it's in its prime. So Sally's looking gorgeous now, and it's so awesome it's making Adam scream.
Awesome.
He looks around and his jaw is dropped, and you know he's not alone.
I'm impressed as well.
I'd really love to know how Wendell built all of this. There's a swing set, a whole entire shelter, and a workbench, and wow, there's a kitchen area. 'Cause Wendell's a builder, that's right, but there's one thing that bothers me. What's that? And that's that he said he built a, hold up, built a coconut vending machine. And he just flippantly said it like it's nothing, but it's something, so it's what? Wendell, what does it mean, bruh? Tell us, why do you build a vending machine? Who is buying these? It just doesn't seem logistical, 'cause it seems you could go in the jungle, because coconuts grow there, so you could gather them for free. Oh, the machine should never matter, because you could climb up Tony's ladder, and you could get coconuts from the canopy.
It's true.
But Wendell's vending machine stirs up something in my soul. I can't help but feel like I've seen this before. Someone in Survivor's past with a similar approach. He's a vendor of coconuts. So if you want to seek the truth, then I would recommend coconut vending. A certain someone from worlds apart took upon this thankless job. And Nagarote took him out when all that he wanted was a hug from Jen and some respect, and to vote Joe Anglum out. But Survivor did him wrong. Oh, a coconut vendor. He's real, the truest thing that one could be. So true, truer than a dragon slayer. Because he's providing nuts to society. It's God's work, but now Wendell's made the process automated. Taking Vince out of a job. Wendell, please reconsider. Wendell, the coconut vending machine. Vince is suffering.
And look, I realize that Wendell's probably just talking about some receptacle that he built that they keep their coconuts in, and not an actual functional vending machine that you, like, put a fire token into and press some buttons and a coconut pops out. But that does not make for a funny song.
Wow, Vince Sly, pretty good singer. Good job advocating on your own behalf, Vince Sly.
That was from Justin Timbertina Lake.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, though, it was...
It really was a ride.
Yeah, that was a ride.
I mean, maybe there could have been a Nagarote, baked into an artist name somewhere along the way, but that would have been very low on my list of things to have heard on this week's Wanda.
But Josh, it really goes... it went unnoticed on the show that... So, when we got to the swap, which was three episodes ago, okay?
Uh-huh.
So they swapped to three tribes. Wendell shows up at the Sele tribe and is like, wow, this place is a dump. To now, it's 6 days later on the show, they merge, and Adam Klein, who started on the Sele tribe, shows up and is like, oh my God, I can't believe what you've done here.
Yeah.
Like, has anybody...
like Extreme Home Makeover.
Yeah. Anybody wondered why Wendell might have been in a bad mood? The guy busted his ass for six days, went to tribal council twice, and built a mansion in six days.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think print that on a t-shirt and sell it. give that to Wendell to sell, and he gets all the money that is a very fair defense of, like, if he was a little cranky, yeah, maybe he earned that.
There was a reason.
Maybe he earned it. And you just vote him out after all that?
Not only built a coconut vending machine, stocked it with coconuts.
Yeah, yeah. The disrespect for Wendell Holland here. Mm-hmm. I won't stand for it.
Mm-hmm.
Justice for Wendell. Justice for Wendell. This is just uncool the way that he's been besmirched here.
Okay.
Very good defensive Wendell, for sure.
Now, Josh, if you thought our last song, our last honorable mention was a ride.
Oh, God.
Buckle up.
I guess it's good we still get to go on rides.
Yeah, yeah. Josh, by any chance that with all of your musical knowledge, did you happen to listen at all to the recent one-hit wonder tournament on Robin Akiva Nita podcast. Good.
I know it exists. I know it exists.
Good. That's fine because we have one of our talented wand offers who is going to take you through the round of 32 one-hit wonders.
Oh, wow.
And has turned them into a recap of this week's episode of Survivor.
Oh, wow. So we're about to listen to 32 songs?
In honor of Nick and Sophie and Yule and Michelle and Adam and Danny and Wendell and all the one-hit wonders from their original Survivor season, is Dan Sinensky with the one-hit wonders to help recap this week's episode of Survivor.
Tyson is back from extinction. Peanut butter has that good nutrition. Tyson beat the old school crew. Tyson Apostle will just scream at you. And then the winners all listen to Queen Denise. She said, I slayed her with her own idol. Oh yeah, Denise, it's time to align with the lions. And get out when Nick, Misha, and Adam Klein. Bye.
Adam Klein.
Goodbye, hyenas. Wendell wants to say, please cram. Bear hug stance, wins necklace, and Michelle landed at the bottom. Adam tried to help. Adam, no. Adam, don't help her. Don't help her. Awkward. J.D. Nick Wilson, a hyena, at least says Ben. But when targeted, Adam Klein. But when targeted, Adam Klein. Great fine seal deal. Adam will go away. Time to say bye-bye. Stay please. But Adam says please now. Sophie saved me. And now it looks like Jeremy likes Wendell. And now it looks like Tyson and Tony Chell. And Sophie hates alpha alphas. She is getting her way. She's getting her way. Who's going out at the merge? Is Adam Wendell Holland? Or will it be Adam Tyson?
Yeah.
And Apostle say when and Jeremy are not fine. Nobody's in the merge has as good of a buddy as Germ. Who vote is in doubt? Hey, Tyson fires a symbol, you live. Death from extinction, his torch needs ignition. Come on, Fargo, let's get started. Send him right back to EOE. No, things have changed since they sent him home. Now will Adam Klein or Wendell have to go? Well, someone's game has to end. And his name's Wendell Holland. Baby boy leaves game all smiles, cause baby boy's a real good guy. Just to be a new feather in Sophie's crown. A new feather in Sophie's crown.
Oh my gosh.
That was Dan Sinensky with 32 one-hit wonders. It really was amazing what he did, because if you go down the bracket, it, like, they were the, in the order from the, because I had to stare at it for 4 hours, the top left to going down matchup by matchup through.
And I'm almost impressed. I'm almost impressed. I think, like, if you then went through, like, you then go to the Sweet 16 and then the Elite 8 and then like, if you just go all the way through, so you have to repeat the winning songs.
Yeah.
And that would have been really something.
Yeah, and also, but I believe it was also in the order of the episode, so it was like a full recap of the episode. I was more impressed the more I listened to that today.
Wow. Dan, who is the artist of one of my all-time favorite Wandoffs, Don't You Call Me Tony, Don't You Know I'm Joe, from all the way back in Triple H, criminally underrated, one of the great Wandoffs of all time. Dan, I would say you need to go outside, but you actually cannot.
No.
You cannot. You have to stay inside, as does everybody else. So I don't know what to do for you. But that was a weird thing that happened, and I'm really glad it happened. I hope you feel great about what you've done. because it was tremendous and strange and incredible and glorious.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Josh, we're ready to get into the top five songs here in Wombat's Nation. Of course, you can vote all week long when you go to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda. The tabulator is standing by. And of course, you could listen to all of this week's submissions on our SoundCloud playlist as compiled by top five human, Randy Newpole.
Yes, Randy.
We're going to kick things off here with our first song in the top five, and it's from last week's winner of the Wandoff.
Okay.
It's JR and V with a song
two in a row
all about Nick and how he works his way into every conversation around. Here's JR and V.
Oh, brutal. Very funny.
When I was on the pole, Jeremy looked me in the eye. He looked so intense.
Classic hit from the group Radio Edgardo Rivera.
That's great. Oh, man. I hope Nick Wilson can get into the Radio Edgardo Rivera concerts. I know that Radio Edgardo Rivera doesn't typically like to play that song. So,
but it is really? A classic.
Oh, did you not know that?
No, they don't like to play their hits.
Well, they don't like that particular song, or more specifically, the lead singer doesn't like.
So you
that
go to the song, you go to the concert, and they don't want to play their number one song.
Yeah, they've done a lot more since Creep. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about Radiohead. They've done a lot more since Creep.
Mm-hmm. I did not say they were a one hit wonder. Did not say that.
I think that they played Creep relatively recently as like, all right, fine, we'll do Creep. But Tom York, I think, looks back on Creep as like, we're well past Creep at this point. Mm-hmm. He looked very like commercial. Mm-hmm. And that's not how Tom York rolls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, Radiohead podcast for another day.
Another day. Yeah. The number two song here in Wandoff Nation is going back to this week's Immunity Challenge. And here is Lana and Anthony with a song all about one of the contestants' feet.
Can't look at it anymore. Dipping love on the pole. Too nasty to ignore. I fall down just to get away from the toe I saw. It never bothered me anyway. Just the toe.
That was from El Savaii, Sophie's least favorite.
El Savaii.
Did Nick have a gross toe? I don't think I was paying super close attention.
I missed it. I'm not in a position to make fun of anybody's toes. I have webbed toes. Like I can't be on my ivory tower making fun of people's toes. Yeah. So. I'm sure I have. I'm a big fat hypocrite, but I won't do it today. That was very funny. Remember that time when I wheeled over one of my toes while we were recording a podcast?
You have to refresh my memory.
We were recording a podcast, and like I'm a prolific leg shaker, and I sit in a wheelie chair, and sometimes like my feet just kind of like move behind the wheels, yeah. And like I'll wheel around a little bit, and I wheeled over my own big toe. And I like squealed in pain. I was like, "Oh, Rob, edit this out." And you're like, "Oh no, it's staying." yeah. So someone
people like that stuff. Like
I know. I'll do anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We made the wand off, so.
The number three song here in Wombat's Nation comes to us from one of the Wandoff greats. Here's Bob with two B's trying to keep an eye out on who has the correct amount of fire tokens.
Some people forget who has had us. Yeah. Some rely on the lower third. Some people tweet at Jeff Probst.
Yeah!
Because it irked with the pompous inferred. I did analytics for a big company. But COVID took my job and now I miss my spreadsheets. So I came up with a little project while the world's gone bizarre. Fire tokens, I'll figure out where they are. Cause I'm a tracer, I'm a counter. Google Sheets up in my browser. Denise and Jeremy plus one. I'm not joking, but I'm coping. Tracking fire tokens. Subtract a digit from Tyson. I pivot table on occasion. Insert function, solve equation. Rightmost column has the sum. Fans have spoken, show is broken. We can't track these tokens. I guess these things are pretty dumb.
That was a classic hit from the James Miller Band.
My stuff. Oh man, I want to see my spreadsheet.
Yeah,
very useful. A very useful wand off.
Very useful. I also want to issue a correction for Casey Kasem. That was from Bob with Two B's featuring Hot Yoga Wife.
Oh, cool! Welcome to the wand off, Hot Yoga Wife.
Yes. All right.
Nice. Nice. Nice, nice, nice.
Josh, the number four song here in Wombat's Nation comes to us from Jason Lee, and he wants to talk about everybody's favorite new Survivor music cue.
It's a little bit funny how to feel at the merge. Someone from the edge of extinction will reemerge. Fire tokens are spent to help them finish the job. And it winds up neck and neck between Tyson and Rob. We all watch with excitement, huh. But then again, no. 'Cause something kinda jarring happens on our favorite show.
Oh, God.
No, it's not much, but it's a really strange choice. The words,
"You better be ready,"
from that random voice. And you know that everybody is sick of that song. You thought it'd be good to include it, but you are wrong. I hope you don't mind that we are not kind, but we just can't ignore how wonderful it would be if you didn't use that song anymore.
You better be ready.
That was a beautiful song from the artist Elton John Dalton.
Fair play. Oh, man. The least they could do is release the instrumental version so we can wand off about it. You know, don't penalize. Don't penalize Survivor Nation, even if I'm not your favorite person anymore. Release the instrumental track for everybody else. This is not about you and me. This is about everyone else. Just put it out there. It'll make a lot of people happy right now. I'll say something nice about the Edge of Extinction. I'll make that deal. All right? Let's put the song out there. We want to wand off it.
Josh, we've got one last song in the top five. Here, the number five song in Wombat's Nation comes to us by a wand off newcomer. Here's Webb and the Winos talking about this week's events.
That's great, it starts with a champagne toast, and Probst makes up a quote about a drink before the war. Winners old and new school, fire tokens are a tool, Adam makes a rookie move, the whole tribe disapproves, but Natalie goes first, could this get worse? Then Amber has to clamber to get up the ledge, on the edge, Danny messes up, doesn't have a prayer, Natalie gets greedy and becomes Survivor's first billionaire, climbing to get large for tokens, Ethan falls, his heartbroken, don't give up. Tony tweaks physics laws, breaks Tyson's ladder claws, Sanders baby shark surprises with scary jaws. Uh-oh, bro, I know, cops are us on down low, Sarah spits, sneaking in the nighttime, do the crime, then we get the tribe swap. Buddy system is a flop, the queen has not foreseen Denise's clever idol smokescreen, they kicked it and evicted for yo. Such full extinction is full, it's the end of the egg as we know it. It's the eyes of the egg, and we know in the throne. It's the eyes of the egg, and we know in the throne. I feel fine.
Huh? It's not the end of the edge as we know it? Come on now, end the edge now. Brooks, don't blow it. I need wine. Not the stupid edge, as you know it. Although we love Ethan, don't, we'll forego it. Please, someone make us a pledge. Overthrow it like Sandra Swine.
Voted out, and now it's time for me to go. This is not for me.
Hi, Sandra.
That was
you can't get me again, Rob. Just so you know.
That was a classic hit from the group R.E.E.M.
And it's about the edge of extinction.
Shout out to Randy Neupel for that one.
Oh, good, good, good. Got it. Always keeping me on my toes. How about that? How about that, you guys? Wow.
There you have it. This week's top five songs at the merge. Head on over to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda to cast your vote. All these wand-offs have been very close this season. Your vote matters. robhasawebsite.com/votewanda.
Amazing. Oh, man. Ah, my face hurts, as it often does.
And of course, you can catch all of this week's submissions when you go to our SoundCloud playlist available to the patrons of Rob as a Podcast on Monday nights.
Yep.
Until next time, Josh Wiggler, keep your feet on the ground and keep your hands off the table and your face.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Sorry, Casey. Almost did it.
Almost did it. All right.
What a blast. What a great time.
Good wand off.
Great wand off.
Great job,
wand off.
Everybody. Lots great. Of fun stuff this week.
They're always great.
Yes. Okay. Oh my God. All right. Of course, Wednesday night is just around the corner again, believe it or not. And
I do. It's always happening now. The time is just morphing into like one circular
There's
thing.
There's Wednesday and then not Wednesday.
Those are the days of the week, just the two.
Yes. So make sure, hey, get your lineups in if you want to play in the FanDuel Survivor game. Head on over to FanDuel.com/RHAP. You could play for free. Win your share of $2,040 in FanDuel bonus cash. If you can make the right lineup, the winning lineup of Survivor players, head on over to FanDuel.com/RHAP to play for free. Josh, I know you are so busy with podcasting.
Got a lot.
Can you give us a sense of what you have going on these days?
All right, so let's give it a whirl. So we're doing this right now. Wiggle Room Wand Off happening at the moment. A lot
thank
on,
you for the current status update.
Well, it was mostly for me. It was more for me just to ground myself, you know, and just like have to like censor myself. Where am I right now? So the Wiggle Room, that's still happening.
That's like when you're dreaming, you're supposed to like, okay, I mean,
I had a crazy dream the other night.
Can you share it or
it's not NSFW. It's just like, no one's going to give any kind of a crap about it. The key part was like within the dream, I had like this eureka moment of like, oh, I'm in a dream. Do any of you other people know that this is my dream right now? And one person in the corner is like, yeah, this is great. This is crazy.
Yeah. Do you ever have a dream that you're podcasting?
Yeah.
Oh, you do? I never do.
I have. A lot of my dreams these days are actually like very mundane about like very, very normal like work things, which I guess like it could be worse given everything else. But like, they do tend to be like fairly basic dreams right now, like very believable, like chillingly believable. It's like upsetting, like stomach churningly believable. All right. So what do we got? We got on that very lovely note, a Walking Dead podcast just wrapped. Jessica Lise and I just closed that season 10 because season 10 ended early. Jessica Lise and I are going to be launching. This is very exciting. We're very excited about this. If you like the show Killing Eve, on AMC and BBC America.
Killing Eve Rojas?
Is that Eve with a Y?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll mock up the logo, so we'll make sure our post-show recaps coverage has Killing what Eve a with a Y. That's really good. Eve Rojas, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Killing Eve. Jessica Lise and I are going to be podcasting about Killing Eve on post-show recaps. It premieres season 3.
What's that
on
show
April
about,
12th.
Can I ask?
Sure. It's sort of like, it's a little like Dextery to a degree. It's about an MI6 operative played by Sandra Oh, who develops a fascination with a globe-trotting serial killer assassin played by Jodie Comer. And it becomes like kind of this game of cat and mouse about their sort of mutual obsessions with one another. It's very violent, but very, very funny, dramatic at points too. The acting is really top notch. Both Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer have each won Emmy Awards for their respective roles in this show. So really, really top shelf acting.
And a really, really easy binge. I had seen almost all of season one, but not all of it until recently. And then I re-binged that with my wife and then binged all of season two in like a weekend.
What's
basically.
It on?
AMC and BBC America. It's a simulcast deal. Mm-hmm. And you can get it all on Hulu right now. It's a really, really fast watch. It's 16 episodes as it currently stands. And each episode's like 40 minutes without commercials. So it's pretty swift. And it's really snappy. It's really fun. It's got like a little bit of like a 24 vibe to it sometimes.
That's the connection.
But much better. Much better.
Better
much
than 24?
Come on.
Top 7
up.
Show for Josh Wigler?
Is it anymore? I've grown up. No offense, Jack Bauer. I know, we could use you right now. So that's happening. That's launching. We're going to be launching that very soon. So if you like Killing Eve, good for you to know that we're going to be doing that recap, Jess and I. We've also got Westworld is still going on. Better Call Saul. Antonio and I are recapping still. Everything is Super. The Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast that we are doing on post-show recaps. Kevin Mahadeo and I are starting our MCU rewatch this week with Iron Man. That's going to be recording on Tuesday early afternoon. So if you've got any feedback for that, you can still get it in. Potentially, depending on when you're listening to this, super at postshowrecaps.com is the way to contact us. We want you to score your Marvel movie ratings on a scale of 1 to 6 each movie. That's how we're coming up with our list of the Marvel movie rankings.
Why
Mike
1 to 6?
And I, because there's 6 Infinity Stones. So we're being cheeky. Yeah. 6 Infinity Stones. So it's our Infinity Stone rankings.
Did you ever see the tweet where Russell Hance, I think his pinned tweet was he talked about that. He thinks he would be very good at finding the Infinity Stones.
I believe that's correct. I think, unfortunately, that's right. Russell could be the Thanos of Survivor. That does make some level of sense. It's like kind of like a tiny Thanos, but like, I mean, it makes some sense to me for sure. Has he ever worn a purple buff? I don't know. Yeah, he did. Zapatero. He was one of those Zaps. That's one of the Zaps. The founding members of the Zaps. So everything is super happening down. The hatch is happening. Mike Bloom and I were talking about the hunting party. That's the one where Mr. Friendly with the big beer and they all meet him in the middle of the jungle. He's like, get your feet off of the furniture. He says something like that. It's very fun. So we'll talk about that. And then the Top Chef podcast, which is like the best time ever. We're having such a good time on the Top Chef
it's a
podcast.
Party.
We had 7 people on our Top Chef podcast this past week. It was myself, Haley Strong, who's our host, Emily Fox, my wife, who is on the podcast as well, Antonio Mazzaro, Mike Bloom, Kurt Clark, and the great chef Jim Smith, who is a Top Chef alum, who is a huge, huge RHAP fan, loves Survivor, loves all things RHAP. And made sure to stress that. And in fact, Chef Jims and I struck a deal at the end of our Top Chef podcast this week because he loves the wand off. He's like, I've always been thinking about like submitting one, but I'm too afraid to do it. I don't really sing very well. I said, well, Jim, the wand off can't end until you submit a song. And then I realized that probably means like everyone's now going to petition Jim to not write a song for the wand off. Because the wand off can't end until Chef Jim shows up. So I've boxed us in. So there's Randy Newpel says, I riot until we get a Jim's wand off. So I guess it's only the final one. Yep, there it is. It's in the video if you're here in the chat. So the wand off continues until Chef Jim Smith shows
Randy
up
Newpel
and records
more wand off.
I don't know, but whatever. You know, look, so many things are changing and things are so abnormal that, like, I don't want to talk about the final wand off stuff anymore. Mm. Like, who knows what the future holds? Let's do this as long as we can and let's have some fun. And I'm happy to be here and I hope you guys are happy too.
Okay.
Let's keep it going.
We've got so much that went on this week with all of the podcasts. Some really great episodes with Christian and Malcolm. Check those out. Plus, This Week in Survivor with Haley Strong as well. We've got some really great shows coming up this week. We'll have News AF back with Tyson and Danny on Tuesday, plus the Know-It-Alls. And then on Thursday, we will be talking with somebody who played with Malcolm famously, Andrea Belke will be back with us on Thursday. And then one of the great...
Will you ask her how she was able to get a broom to fly?
Yes.
She flew on a broom recently, and that was pretty cool.
Was that an Instagram video?
Yeah, her sisters or her friends or something like that.
Doing tricks.
They were crazy. They were flying on a broom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm flying on a broom, bro.
All right. Well, I'll investigate what's going on there. Then Hannah Shapiro this weekend. Yeah. So really great weekend on the
podcast. That's great.
Of great stuff. Not to mention also, I announced on Wednesday night that we were going to be starting something new for the month of April. You know, people always want to jump in at the beginning of the month for, you know, the start to become a patron. And so I felt that it was, you know, being a patron was a really good thing. I really believe in this community that we've built here. We got a lot of stuff going on right now. And what I wanted to do was that I wanted to donate all of the proceeds that are coming in from new patrons signing up this month to PPE charities, getting personal protective equipment for doctors and nurses. We're working with a charity called Direct Relief. And,
amazing.
We've had an amazing amount of support and signups to our Patreon now because that I'm going to be matching that contribution, which is getting very significant. But it's again, I'll announce on Wednesday night just, you know, how far we've come, but it is a big figure.
Yeah. You were talking to me offline. It's daunting, but exciting.
Do you hear the concern in my voice?
Yeah. Look, what you're doing is amazing. And what's the name of the charity again?
Directrelief.org.
Directrelief.org.
I've actually been in contact with somebody who works with Direct Relief, who happens to be a listener of the podcast. His name is MC. And he talks about everything that Direct Relief is doing between getting personal protective equipment to doctors and nurses in larger hospitals, but also in a lot of different community clinics as well. Not to mention they're also working with organizations around the world to help to get that sort of equipment to doctors and nurses. So
that's awesome. That's amazing.
We'll be doing this for the month of April and updating you guys as well. Also, I had additionally started a GoFundMe for a lot of people who are existing patrons who wanted to, hey, I'm already a patron, but I'd like to also contribute to the charity. I set up a GoFundMe that is going directly to directrelief.org. You can go to robeswebsite.com/PPE charity and go to that GoFundMe that we're also doing directly to Direct Relief. My wife, Nicole, is a nurse. She works in hospitals. So this is very top of mind at our house. And so trying to do our best to try to help out and support the doctors and nurses on the front lines, helping people with this crisis that we're dealing with right now. So a lot of good stuff going on.
It's no surprise. You're a top five human, just like Randy.
First off, get the counterpoint from the First Lady of Podcasting dub me with that.
No, you're an incredible person, and you're very, very funny and very talented at what you do, but you're also just a good guy. And I think that is a huge piece of why this community is as robust and as electrified with energy as it always is. So it's amazing stuff. I'm looking forward to contributing to this. I think a really, really great example of how, even though so many of us are, you know, many of us are physically alone right now, we remain very, very connected, and people are really rising up in the face of a really, really difficult situation. And look, if you've been on the fence about becoming part of this community, this is a great reason to do it. There's lots of great patron perks, of course. But now you also get the perk of like watching Rob go slowly mad as you directly bankrupt him.
This is like a classic Survivor. Like start off as a good plan and very turns into a very bad plan.
It's good stuff all around.
That being said, the community that we've built here, we do have the infrastructure in place coming into this like amazing community of people that are virtually connected around this passion, and we're very lucky that Survivor has not been interrupted during this time frame, and so we have this wonderful distraction that we get to come on here and talk about.
But even beyond Survivor, I think like one of the things that I think most of the people who've been patrons for a while would really speak to is this idea that like you're not just like gaining new people to talk about a show you love with, like you're just gaining new people in your life. And I think like one of the things that's happening right now is as so much of our lives are moving into this virtual space, we're going to be finding like new ways of meeting people. come meet, make some new friends. Like there's a lot of friends that are just waiting for you. Some new family, some new people to show you some love and comfort during a really hard time.
Comfort.
I think that's been one of the beauties of the patron community and the RHEP family. So. Yeah. Great stuff all around.
Yeah, we got patron pub trivia coming up in a little bit tonight, so we're gonna get ready for that. Josh, did you listen to any of my interview with Malcolm?
Didn't get a chance to.
Unfortunately, there's some really good Tony stories from the pre-jury trip in there about Tony's relationship with Beast Mode Cowboy.
Oh God, I know that he broke Beast Mode Cowboy's finger, right?
Yes. Not to spoil Malcolm's story, but yeah, Tony and Beast Mode Cowboy were very competitive, and anything that that Tony could do, Beast Mode Cowboy wanted to do, and Tony would taunt Beast Mode Cowboy quite a bit.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
you get him.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Of course, congratulations again to our Week 7 Wandoff winner, JR and V. They will play us out with last week's winning Wandoff. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Season 40 started off fine. Then the old schoolers fell behind. Yeah, yeah. How is your Quan? Michelle was the obvious vote out. But Wendell talked too much trash to Probes now. Please, no. Not you, Quan. You already voted Ethan out. And Tyson and Parvati. Now it's just a new school left. But I miss your Quan. Damn this Leia duplicity. Where Sandra just left. Yeah, yeah. Worthy Rob's hanging out on the edge. Now with your Quan. Bargains made in this economy. Now there's tokens for Sarah and Sophie. Sele turned on your Quan. So after voting Amber out and Danny blew her game, Natalie's the new old school. But I miss your Quan. Damn this Leia duplicity. Is Sandra just left? Your Quan and Ethan's on since Yule's been gone.